All right, top 8 at 8. Let's start with Brandon Ingram, former Los Angeles Laker, wins the 2019-2020 Kia Most Improved Player. Before stoppage, Brandon Ingram was averaging 24.6 rebounds and 4 assists, made the All-Star team, turns 23 on September 2nd, so just in a couple days. Give some love to Brandon Ingram. Honestly, I think that's one of my favorite players over the last couple years. Out of all the young kids, when the Lakers were stacked with young talent, Jordan Clarkson and D'Angelo Russell and Brandon Ingram and Julius Randle, Alonzo Ball, Josh Hart, go down the list of all these players that represent the Los Angeles Lakers. I always saw B.I. just a little bit different. I thought his potential, the type of player he could be in the NBA over the next couple of years, to see him win the Most Improved Player Award is fantastic. Now, do I still wish he was on this team with Anthony Davis? Of course I do. But what kind of a trade would that be? It's amazing to see the type of season that he had. Don't be surprised. This is going to be a big-time player in the NBA as it progresses. But as a Laker fan, I got incredible amount of love to Brandon Ingram. Definitely not a player that, you know, sometimes when you see a player leave your team, you don't want to see them do that well. I mean, they're not on your team anymore. Brandon Ingram, I'm rooting for. I really am. Actually, all those young players, I want Lonzo to do well. I want Josh Hart to. I got no problem with any of those guys. I enjoy actually watching Jordan Clarkson with the Utah Jazz and kind of been that spark off the bench for that team. So, B.I., 2019-2020 Kia Most Improved Player goes to Brandon Ingram. All right, top 8 at 8. Can I run around here real quick and go to Carmelo Anthony, go back to round one? Carmelo Anthony, after the first round of the playoffs against the Lakers, they lose in 5 games. He says, in my mind, I'll be right back in the fray of things when season comes. I pray that it can be in Portland. I think I found a home in Portland. Carmelo is 36 years old right now. Let me stay on Carmelo Anthony. We got a chance to watch him for 5 games. I thought he had a fantastic role with the Portland Trailblazers. I thought it was perfect. That type of a player, that type of a veteran, the ability to kind of spot up anywhere on the floor and let Damian Lillard or CJ McCollum set him up at times, post up like he was doing against some of these Los Angeles Lakers players. I thought he had a really good series. Here's the only thing let me say about Carmelo Anthony, and let me say specifically about the Portland Trailblazers. You just don't have enough. And I know there's a lot of teams out there that are going to be in this position, but if you're the Utah Jazz, you don't have enough. If you're the Portland Trailblazers, you don't have enough. If you're the Denver Nuggets, I mean, you have an incredibly promising future, but it's probably going to take a couple years. What I'm referring to there is, how are any of these teams going to compete with the Los Angeles Lakers, the Los Angeles Clippers? And let me throw in the Golden State Warriors, because I do think the Warriors are going to be back in the mix next season. It's great that Carmelo wants to make his home Portland, but at the end of the day, just not enough talent with the Portland Trailblazers with or without Carmelo Anthony. All right, top 8 at 8, Marcus Morris ejected in Game 6 of the Clippers versus Mavs. I'm not going to spend too much time on the actual series, but I do want to talk about Marcus Morris real quick. What are you doing? How can you be a player of that caliber and not be smart enough in the playoffs to understand that people are going to watch how you treat Luka Doncic? People are already questioning that play where it looked like you stepped on his injured left ankle. Marcus Morris doesn't have the best rap in the NBA when it comes to just playing the game clean. And by the way, I'm a fan of his style. I thought in the in the NBA trade deadline, I was saying the Lakers, go do what you got to do to get Marcus Morris. Go trade whoever you have to go trade to go get Marcus Morris. Lakers needed a tough guy. Rob Pelinka said, Alan, why don't you go sit over there, stay on the mic and keep it down, because I'm the general manager, I'm the president, and not only am I going to get one of these Morris twins, I'm going to get him in the buyout market. So just shows you the strategy that the Lakers had as far as getting a player of that caliber. But I hope Marcus Morris, I hope when the Lakers play the Los Angeles Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, that he has those types of mistakes in that series as well. I didn't understand it. Made no sense to me. And Marcus Morris did not look like the type of player he's supposed to be, the type of role player that he's supposed to be for the Los Angeles Clippers. That made no sense to me. All right, top 8 at 8. Luka Doncic, his first opportunity in the postseason. How would Luka do in his first... by the way, we're going through the top NBA stories right now. How would Luka Doncic do in his first postseason? How about 31 points, 10 rebounds, and 9 assists against the freaking Clippers? Not against Portland, not against Utah, not against one of these other teams, the Brooklyn Nets or the Orlando Magic, some of these teams that you know are not going to be in it when it's all said and done. Luka was doing that against the Clippers. You know, I'm going to disagree with what Sedano and LZ were saying a little bit earlier. If you're starting a franchise right now and you're picking between Luka Doncic and Giannis Antetokounmpo, I'm not trying to take anything away, and I understand how good Giannis is defensively. I understand there's two sides to the floor. Luka's special. Having that much control of the offense, Luka Doncic is special. We don't get too many players like this in the history of the NBA. You know what I could go find, try and find for Luka Doncic if he's running your franchise? I could go try and find one of the best defending defensive players in the NBA to complement him. What I can't go out and find is a Luka Doncic. It's pretty amazing what he did against the Clippers in that first round, specifically who he was playing. Every time I saw him matched up, he had either Kawhi Leonard on him, Marcus Morris on him, Paul George on him. I mean, these are incredible, incredible defenders, and to see Luka Doncic do what he did against the Clippers without Porzingis for a few games, get a couple wins under his belt, watch out for Luka Doncic over the next couple years. They say that this is going to be the face of the league for years to come. I don't know how you can make an argument against that. All right, top 8 at 8. Jamal Murray versus the Utah Jazz. Last three games for Jamal Murray. 50 points, 11 rebounds, and 7 assists. 42 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists. 50 points, 6 assists, and 5 rebounds. Let me say this. If there's one thing we can all appreciate, enjoy right now as NBA fans, and I know a lot, obviously a lot of people listening to this show, big Laker fans, big NBA fans, how about some of these individual performances? Jamal Murray in the last three games, 66% from the three-point line, 64% from the field. What? What are you talking about? How is that a real stat? Yesterday on TNT, that's all Shaq was talking about. Shaq's like, stop paying attention to how many points he's had. Look how many shot attempts. He's doing it efficiently, shooting over 60% from the field. Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell right now, is that not must-watch TV? We get that tomorrow, by the way. Utah versus the Denver Nuggets in Game 7 tomorrow. But with all that being said, before I get into that, you know, that Game 7 tomorrow, I thought what Jamal Murray did after the game yesterday. I thought his, you know, his shoes, he had a photo of Breonna Taylor and George Floyd. And he got extremely emotional. And he talked about, this is why we're playing. There's purpose to these games. You know, he was a heavy heart. You could tell it was as sincere and as genuine as can be. And with all that being said, I just want to say, whatever performance that he put up in the NBA in the postseason on the biggest stage, that wasn't nearly as impressive as his post-game comments after and that post-game interview, because we know at the end of the day, basketball is a game, life is the real deal, and he was talking about real deal stuff and how important it is and how critical it is that he continues to use his platform. So big ups to Jamal Murray, and much respect to how he used his platform yesterday. Top 8 at 8, Utah versus Denver, Game 7 tomorrow. This is number 6, by the way. Got two more. Then I'm out of here. Then we come back talking Los Angeles Lakers basketball. We grab some of your phone calls. Utah versus Denver, Game 7 tomorrow. This is the best second-round matchup. Or I'm sorry, this is the best first-round matchup. I got excited that this matchup, I thought it was going to be a good series. And then Utah jumps out 3-1. I'm like, what the hell happened here? But now, this is certainly a must-watch tomorrow night, Game 7 between these two teams and these two stars in Jamal Murray and and I'm just drawing a blank here. Pick me up. Donovan Mitchell. Twice I've done this with Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray, two big-time players facing at it tomorrow. By the way, I'm not sure who's more difficult for the Clippers. I think no matter who comes out, Clippers are going to handle business, so I'm just going to enjoy the game. Top 8 at 8, Boston versus Toronto. What the hell did I watch yesterday? Got all ready. It's a 10 a.m. start. I felt it was like football season. I was like, yeah, it's perfect. You got a 10 a.m. game. You got a 1 p.m. game. This reminded me of the morning games and the afternoon games in the NFL. By the end of the first quarter, it was a blowout by the Boston Celtics. I think that series will definitely get better. I definitely think this is going to be, a good chance of it being a 7-game set. Too much talent for the Toronto Raptors. The coach of the year, Nick Nurse, for them not to find a way to respond and to fight back. Boston takes game one. And the final one of our top 8 at 8, how about the Milwaukee Bucks and the Miami Heat in game one? I mentioned this a couple times. I don't think this is a walk in the park. I definitely don't think this is an easy series for the Milwaukee Bucks. And anybody that was questioning that, just walk away from game one, see the 40-piece that Jimmy Butler put up, and see the win that the Miami Heat got to start the series. That was big time. That's a big-time win from the Miami Heat, 115-104 the final. It shows exactly what's supposed to happen in the second round. You're supposed to have Goliaths going up against each other. The Eastern Conference definitely has that. Miami takes game one against the Milwaukee Bucks. That is our top 8 at 8. A lot of stories in the NBA. And we'll continue on the NBA, but we'll go back to the Los Angeles Lakers. When we come back, I want to play something that Max Kellerman said on First Take. So Max Kellerman, there's a conversation right now about the Lakers. Do they have enough to get it done? Did we see enough in the first round? I'm going to play what Max Kellerman thinks about that. And we have a 77-75 lead, the Oklahoma City Thunder over the Houston Rockets. They were just down 9, were the Thunder. They came back to end the third quarter on a run. So Thunder's got a 2-point lead. What does that mean for the Los Angeles Lakers? Very simple. If the Rockets win tonight, then the Lakers will start most likely on Wednesday against the Rockets in round 2. If the Thunder win, then that's game 7 on Wednesday. We'll probably have to wait till Friday for Lakers to start round 2. All right, more Lakers talk coming up next. If you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. This is Lakers talk on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. You're out driving around. Get a chance to talk some Los Angeles Lakers basketball in August. How random is that? Talking Lakers basketball in August. This has been at least for the start of the postseason here, it's been fantastic competition-wise, and it's a great competition going on right now. 83-78, Oklahoma City Thunder. Make it 85-78. Thunder with a 7-point lead. Chris Paul barking that nobody can guard him. 10.5 minutes left to go. If this goes as it's going right now, we might not have Lakers basketball until Friday for round 2. By the way, quick reminder. I already reminded you guys earlier. You should have already done it by now. Streaming September 4th. Disney's new movie, Mulan, experienced the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family. As she fights to defend her family and the kingdom, available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premier access. If you don't have Disney Plus, get it. It's fantastic. If you have kids, you should already have it. Let me squeeze in a couple quick calls here before I play some audio here from Max Kellerman. A lot of people out there still don't think Lakers, this team's not going to get it done. A lot of people feel that this Lakers team, as talented as they are with Anthony Davis and LeBron James, that they are not going to be able to get it done just simply because all the role players that the Lakers have. Steve in La Habra. Steve, I appreciate you hanging out for about an hour. Thank you for doing so. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead, bud.
I love your show, man. I'm happy to have you on the air. I'm a big fan. I've told you many times before. I don't know. I know you're a radio guy. You know who you remind me of, and I mean this in a total complimentary way, is Lee Klein. Like, Lee Klein let his callers talk. he was articulate. He had a lot of information. And I'm sure you know Lee Klein, right?
Of course, of course. I appreciate it. Thank you.
In a good way, in a younger, hipper, cooler version of him.
Definitely not that cool. I'm definitely not
that
cool.
Yeah, you're cool. They're so cool, they call you cool. Anyways, I LeBron James,
mm-hmm.
he's an amazing player. I love LeBron James. I think I don't like Miami LeBron James. I love Cleveland LeBron James.
I'm with you with that.
I got to ask you, okay? LeBron's not going to be one of the greatest Lakers of all time, because even if he wins a championship, because
agreed.
You have, you know, guys like Kobe, Magic, Jerry West,
Kareem, Will Chamberlain, sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I got to ask you, if you had the number one pick in the draft in the history of the NBA, Kareem, Magic, LeBron, Kobe, Wilt, who are you picking? Who's your number one pick?
Hmm. You know, Steve, I'm
going with Kareem myself.
I personally don't hesitate on this one, and that's just because this is what got me into basketball. I was a Magic guy, and I just loved the style of Magic Johnson. I loved his leadership. You know, Michael Thompson always says, and Steve, I appreciate you calling in. I'm going to take a few more calls as well. But Michael always says that he's the greatest leader that he's ever been around. And I don't know, there's something to me about that style of basketball. I enjoy and appreciate that. Maybe that's why I'm infatuated with Luka Doncic. Maybe this is why LeBron James, when I read off his stats and I say, please appreciate what LeBron is doing. Magic was, I've said this plenty of times, that Kobe's the greatest Laker of all time, but Magic is my favorite. And what I mean by my favorite, as in his style of basketball, I loved the no-look passes. I loved the way that Showtime era obviously was ran. I loved his competitiveness. I loved his drive. I love that, you know, he pretty much virtually had a triple-double every single game. I like that style. So that would be my answer to that. Isn't it crazy? Just think about all the Laker greats. Just think about them. All these unbelievable legends that represented the purple and gold. And if you want to put together a team right now of former Lakers versus take the rest of all the other teams in the NBA and take their greats, you probably walk away with a better team with the Los Angeles Lakers. And I genuinely mean that. You know, if you had a starting five for the Los Angeles Lakers, and I could even just say it's players that won NBA championships with the Los Angeles Lakers. So I would take LeBron off of that, you know, obviously off that list. But between Magic and Kobe and Kareem and Shabby, I don't know what else we want to do. All right, Robert in San Clemente. Robert, appreciate you calling into Lakers Talk. Robert, I got a question for you. So I'm about to play this Max Kellerman from First Take. You think the Lakers got enough as it is right now to get it done? And we're certainly not talking about getting to the Western Conference Finals or to the Finals. You think they got enough as is to win an NBA championship?
I believe so, just because, you know, with the combination of having AD and LeBron and not to mention guys like Dwight Howard, Alex Caruso, Kyle Kuzma, it might not show in the box score statistically that they're doing great, but they bring in the energy and the grit in the moments that count. And I think Dwight's been playing. He's stepping up his game. And their role players are just fine. So I think we're deep enough to really contend and be a force against any team in the league. I mean, it's pretty clear cut. You see Dwight getting in the head of Hassan Whiteside, you know, and McGee's been playing great. I mean, other than everybody's been talking about LeBron and AD, but we got to look at the other guys. I mean, KCP, you know, he provides good energy. And
KCP, by the way, KCP, these last few games, you know, he's shooting at a great percentage. He had 3 steals in the last game. Caruso had 4 steals. So, Robert, to play to your point, last one, you want to see the Thunder or the Rockets? Who do you want to see, Robert?
Any team. I think we
I
would,
like it.
You know,
that's the right
no
answer.
Problem with either team. Thunder for sure, but either way, we're good enough to go through any team in the league. So,
all right, Robert. I appreciate it, man. Thank you for calling in. Isn't that kind of funny when you ask a question like that? It's like, we'll take anybody. But if the Clippers lose in the second round, I'll be more than happy with that as well. So Max Kellerman on First Take. doesn't believe that AD and LeBron can get it done for the Lakers. Let's hear his argument of why.
Who else is really a starter on that team? Who's shown throughout their careers that they're a starter and that they're still a starter? Because you could even argue that about Danny Green. I like him as a two-guard, 3-and-D two-guard. I think his shot will start to fall and he'll be fine. But who else is really even a starting caliber player on that team? Has Kuzma ever proven that in the NBA? Really a starter on a championship team? He hasn't, Stephen A. They don't have that. And I think given this coming offseason, they'll be able to find the right guy and just the right pieces. And I like them for the following year. But that's what I thought from the beginning of this year. I don't think LeBron and AD will be enough.
All right. So let me say this on Max Kellerman. Which, by the way, Kellerman's on 11-1 right here on 710 ESPN. I would probably say this, he's my favorite host in sports. I genuinely, even back in the days, Max and Marcellus, I always enjoy his takes. But this is where I'm going to disagree with Max on this front when it comes to the Lakers' role players and that they don't have enough. Why isn't more conversation being had about how much the Clippers struggled in round one? Why isn't there more of a conversation about how Luka Doncic, one player, who by the way is 21 years old, was able to slice and dice the Los Angeles Clippers? And I don't know about you guys, but people can go out and say, oh, Seth Curry was fantastic that series. Tim Hardaway Jr., what a great spot-up shooter. Can we stop pretending like the Mavs had a squad? They didn't. They had one player that was delivering. And last I checked, it was the Los Angeles Clippers who are supposed to run through the Western Conference and dominate every team. At least that's what people are starting to say now. And they have the edge over the Los Angeles Lakers and everything else that I think comes with that conversation. What did I miss in that first round? How come that was a series? How come there wasn't more of a conversation about how the Clippers allowed the Dallas Mavericks to make it a series? I just say that because if you think the same amount of talent in Dallas is sitting with it's the same amount of talent with the Los Angeles Lakers, you're not watching basketball. Anthony Davis and LeBron James, this is not even close. Like, I don't want to have a conversation with anybody about another duo because it's not even close. And put Kawhi and Paul George, you want to say, well, that duo is as good as Anthony Davis and LeBron James. It's not only disrespectful to LeBron and AD, it's inaccurate. Paul George has been, at best, a role player with that Clippers team, at least in this postseason. Now, that doesn't mean that Paul George isn't going to change as the postseason progresses, but Paul George actually doesn't look all that comfortable to begin with the entire time in the Orlando bubble. But I just say all that because and then you hear people say, well, they don't have enough, they're role players, they don't have, what are they really asking for from Alex Caruso? What do they really need from Alex Caruso? Play defense, make sure you box out, get a couple steals here and there, hit a jumper every once in a while. KCP, Danny Green, Kyle Kuzma, Dwight Howard, go down the list. It's not like the Lakers need these players to give them 25 points. So let's stop pretending that the Lakers are asking for unbelievable performances from some of these other players. They're not, and they don't need it. So with all that being said, I just am quick to, I think, come to the defense of the Lakers. And that's not me not making arguments that the Lakers have to play better, that Danny Green needs to start hitting some of his jumpers, that if Deion Waiters gets opportunities or J.R. Smith or some of these other players, I'm not saying that these guys don't have to step up and Anthony Davis doesn't have to play the best basketball he's ever played in his life because I know how good the Clippers are. But let's stop pretending like the Clippers are a flawless team. They have flaws. All right, Est on the 10 freeway. Appreciate you calling in, bud. You're on Lakers Talk. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I agree. That Magic take is perfect. Kobe, greatest Magic. The favorite. I'm right there with you. I don't know what people are missing about this Lakers team. That was men against boys against Portland. They got slapped in the face in the first game and woke up and crushed them.
Est, it wasn't even a series. I'm going to be honest with you. It wasn't even a series.
They have a Hall of Famer coming off the bench in Dwight Howard. Now, look, the Clippers are ballers. Mm-hmm. I don't think that series is a given. But this team plays that Phil Jackson defense where they funnel everything into the middle and crush it. And they're going to keep doing that. They have a style. They have good chemistry. And, I mean, you'd be insane to bet against this team.
asked, who do you want to see, Houston or OKC?
I want to see Houston for the entertainment value, but bring it. Like, bring anybody. But, Houston's a little more interesting. Harden is always a challenge.
Sure.
And with Westbrook, that's a series, man. I can get into that. But I still think they're going to get funneled into the paint and crushed.
Asta, I appreciate you. I appreciate you calling in. Thank you, man. All right, I think Kuzma just got called for a foul, and that series hasn't even started. Dwight definitely already got a technical. He already complained in round two. He has a technical to start round two of the playoffs against the Rockets. It's actually just kind of a seesaw battle here. First, it was Oklahoma City just took a 7-8 point lead after Houston gave up a 7.8 lead. Now Houston came back. So we got a series here going between, or we got a game going here between the Rockets and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Okay, quick reminder here. Do I got to do this again? I got to make sure that I do this. Streaming September 4th, Disney's new movie, Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premiere access. Coming up next, Om Young Masuk. We'll talk about just this potential matchup, what it looks like between the Rockets and the Thunder, what he thought of the Lakers from a round one perspective. And then I got some NBA questions for him. So I appreciate you guys tuning in. Thank you for being a part of the show. You want to hit me on Twitter, at Alan Sliwa. I got to read some of these tweets. I got all these tweets earlier today when I was asking the question between the Rockets and the Thunder. So I'll read some of those a little bit later in the show as well. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, if you missed part of the show, you can always catch a show on the ESPN app or on iTunes. Just search Lakers Talk. You'll get every one of the shows that we do. We do Lakers Talk once a week. All the post-game shows that we do also go on the channel, so make sure to grab any of those shows there. We still don't know who we're playing in round two. Rockets and the Thunder, 94-91 right now. Om Young Masuk's going to come on in about 10 minutes or so. I told Om, let's just enjoy the game. Right when the game's over, let's have you on. We'll react to it, and that's what we're going to do. So these are the two scenarios that can play out. If the Rockets win this game, most likely Lakers will play on Wednesday, round one, against the Houston Rockets. If OKC ends up winning this game, then we probably don't play until Friday. I don't know about you guys. I don't think I want to wait until Friday anymore. Let me read off some tweets. So I put out a tweet. I said, bring on the Rockets. Yeah, all of a sudden, you know, we're out of the first round. You get confident. You start kind of walking around like all those people that thought this was going to be a series against the Blazers. It really wasn't a series. But let me read off a couple tweets here. I asked Laker fans if they have a preference between the Thunder and the Rockets or if they have any concern with the Houston Rockets. Biggie S76 says Rockets are dangerous when knocking down threes, but we should dispose of them quick. Crash Bro says Lakers in five. Dre Day says, I pray that it's the Houston Rockets because I want the extra pressure to keep up with a Houston Rockets scoring total. I was trying to make this argument a little bit earlier on the show, talking about how I feel like there are definitely times where you feel that there are certain teams that are going to prep you better for other teams. And I think with the Lakers, this is a perfect example. Lakers got a chance to play the Portland Trail Blazers in round one, and that's going to prepare them better for whoever the opponent is in round two. If the Lakers got the Rockets in round two, which Houston just took a 5-point lead now with 4.5 minutes left, if they do get Houston in round two, again, I'll go back to this. You'll be ready for when you got to take on the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals because that competition is obviously going to be incredibly, incredibly tough. And when you play the Clippers, I think this is all just a battle. Everything that's going on right now between the Lakers and the Clippers in round two, We're just wasting time for what I think is inevitable, that the Lakers and the Clippers are going to face each other in the Western Conference Finals. And I can't wait for it. I mean, don't get me wrong. Part of me is nervous as hell for it. It's not going to be certainly it's not going to be a five round or a five game or a six. I think it's probably a seven game series, and there's no other way to look at it. Stephen A. Smith on First Take is talking about the Los Angeles Lakers team. And the one thing that everybody continues to mention is they need a third guy. They need another player that that needs to step up on a consistent basis. Here's Stephen A. Smith.
Nobody can stop them. They can stop the rest of the team. Anthony Davis and LeBron James will show up. They will do their thing. That won't be enough for the Lakers to win the chip, though. They'll have to get somebody, a third reliable weapon. And the operative word is reliable. Somebody that is so bona fide and relatively consistent to the point where you get to take some of the load off of LeBron and Anthony Davis, because teams are going to have to pay attention to them as well. Those things are important. But LeBron James and Anthony Davis are going to do their thing, and especially if Anthony Davis continues to play the way that he plays. I remember before the playoffs even started, I said it was imperative that he not only show he's going to always get his numbers. He's too surreal not to. The question was, how is he going to get those numbers? Are you going to be vicious and tenacious and attacking the basket, being a man amongst boys and dominating in the fashion you're capable of? He completely wiped out Nurkic and Hassan Whiteside, made them look completely irrelevant. He patrolled the paint and turned, even though Portland likes to shoot perimeter shots, he turned them into an exclusively perimeter shooting team because he was neutralizing everything in the paint area. He's got to be that man amongst boys. He's got to play big in order for the Lakers to have a chance to win the championship, which I believe he will do. But it's still going to take a little bit of help from somebody else. That's the key. But nobody stopping him and LeBron. It's whether or not they're going to stop the others.
That is, by the way, the major question coming into the postseason too was, all right, well, what about Anthony Davis? Do you guys know this? If you guys listen to the show enough, listen to obviously 710 ESPN, AD's never been past the second round. So this is a critical stage in his career. 26 years old, going to eventually be the future of this Los Angeles Lakers franchise. That's the hope. Hopefully by the end of this season, he already has an NBA championship under his belt. But as we get into the second round, and I say that AD has never been past the second round, really all I'm trying to emphasize there, it's a key moment in his career. This is big. This is not like any other playoff run for him. This is the most important playoff run for him, even under all the circumstances. The expectation, like Stephen A. Smith was just talking about right there, he's saying that he dominated the Portland Trailblazers, completely dominated Nurkic, and completely dominated Hassan Whiteside. It almost I don't know if comical is the right word, but to even have heard some of those rumblings about, oh, these guys can present a problem to Anthony Davis, he quickly proved, okay, I'm on a different class than them. But that type, that version of Anthony Davis that we're referring to when we're talking about, that pressure is not going to go away. I don't even know if pressure is the right word. That expectation is not going to go away. Because if you're playing the Rockets in round two, nothing's going to change. You're going to be expected to dominate the Houston Rockets. I don't care about the small ball lineup. I don't care how many threes they take. The Lakers will actually be best off with LeBron or with Anthony Davis soon up at the five. And I'm sure in a series like that, you're going to see a lot of Anthony Davis. But kind of the story of Anthony Davis, we're going to have to wait on, because that story is going to have to continue to be told over time. It's going to have to continue to be told over the duration of the playoffs. Who cares about what he did in round one? Honestly, who cares? I loved it. It was great. But get to the Houston Rockets in round two, or more importantly, get to the Los Angeles Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, put up performances like that, and we'll be talking about AD for a long time. By the way, Anthony Davis, after the win against the Portland, talks about how tough this Lakers team is to beat.
First game, we didn't lock into our defensive coverages, especially late game. You know, we wasn't making shots, we wasn't running, we wasn't being scrappy, and we and ultimately lost. You know, that led to a loss for us, and we picked it up games 2-5, and was able to win. So, you know, we know we're a tough team to beat. We know we're a great team, and we just got to play that way every night.
All right, and LeBron James on where the team is right now.
Well, we got better. We got better throughout the course of the series. We knew we were coming into a series with versus a hot Portland team that was playing probably the best basketball inside the bubble along with Phoenix. So, you know, we wanted to just come in and try to work our game, get better and better as the games went on, as the series went on, and I believe we did that. So we have an opportunity right now to kind of, you know, decompress just a little bit and wait for our next opponent.
All right, that's LeBron James right there. You heard from AD. I can't buy any more time. Om Yongmasak is coming up next. Game's tied at 98 apiece, 2 minutes left. They were down 6. Chris Paul hit 2 threes, and Oklahoma City has the ball right now, trying to force Game 7, and we'll keep you guys posted on this game. Om Yongmasak coming up next. Stay right here. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN. All right, let me welcome in Om Yongmasak, who covers the NBA for ESPN. Om, this is too good of a game here. We got two. This is as good as it gets. You got the Rockets and the Thunder tied at 90 apiece, I think. Tied at 90 apiece with under, or I'm tied at 100 apiece with 40 seconds left. Just looking at these two teams, and I think maybe we're not talking enough about the Oklahoma City Thunder. If they come out of this game, how big of a threat could they be in Game 7 to walk away with a first-round upset?
Well, here's the thing about Oklahoma City. They have the ability to kind of make things ugly, and certainly they're holding Houston to 100 points right now. They also, if they can keep you close in a game like this, they are one of the most clutch teams in the NBA, certainly the most clutch entering the bubble this season statistically at the end of fourth quarters. So, and Chris Paul is showing that he has a lot left in the tank. If you're a Laker fan, you want this to go to a Game 7, not just strictly as a basketball fan to watch Game 7s, because Game 7s are awesome, and everybody should tune in tomorrow to Denver-Utah.
Oh, so good.
It's an epic duel. But you'll want to see this series go 7 so the Lakers have a little more rest, and whoever comes out of this series is going to be a little more tired, especially if Houston comes out of this. They're going to have to grind their way out of this if this series extended to a seventh game.
It kind of, Omer, reminds me a little bit of Portland, just what they had to do to get into the postseason. And if this game goes, you know, 7 games, it would be similar what both of these teams had to do to just get into the second round. We're talking to Om Yongmasak, who covers the NBA for ESPN. Do you think, Om, no matter what happens in this game, is it safe to say that whoever the Lakers and the Clippers face in the second round, do you just see a collision course, Western Conference Finals, it'll be the Lakers and the Clippers?
I do, but I don't think it's going to be as easy as we think it's going to be. Let's just say the Denver Nuggets win tomorrow night.
Sure.
And they advance to face LA Clippers. That is a team now that will have won 3 straight do-or-die, backs-to-the-wall elimination games. They're going to be feeling very good about themselves. Also, this is their 3rd straight Game 7 in the last 2 postseasons. So for a young team to win those type of games, and Jamal Murray is now developing into a superstar. If you've watched him in this series, Jamal Murray has elevated his game to another level. And so for him to do that and go into the second round, it could provide the Clippers with more of a challenge than we thought the Denver Nuggets would be. And if Utah Jazz win a Game 7, Donovan Mitchell is going to be low for them. And certainly on the other side with the Lakers, if the Houston Rockets get out of this series, the difference between Houston and OKC that you can see in this game is that Houston has the ability, even though the score is tied at 100 all, to kind of get their offense and get their shots easier than Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City has to work every possession for every score that they get, which would bode well for the Lakers and their defense. Houston, they have the ability to score a little bit easier, especially when they're going right. James Harden, Russell Westbrook, 2 stars that can score. And also, I also think that the Houston Rockets will provide the Lakers a better blueprint heading into a series against the Clippers. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself with the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly, if the Lakers hold on and beat Houston, if they face each other in the next round, and they are able to kind of contain James Harden and Russell Westbrook, that bodes very well for them against Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. I think what we've seen in the first round from the Clippers is that their 1-2 punch is not as good as obviously the 1-2 punch for the Lakers, Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Paul George has struggled. He's starting to come out of that slump a little bit. But certainly what a tune-up it would be for the Lakers to face Harden, Westbrook, going into possibly facing Leonard George.
I want to stay actually real quick with the Clippers. So staying with that, this is a team that had to play six games against the Dallas Mavericks. We saw Luka Doncic. What an amazing postseason he had for his first opportunity. What did you take away from that series with the Clippers? Did you learn some things that were a little bit different? I've spent a lot of time talking about the Lakers on that front in round one of the playoffs. What did you take away from that Clippers matchup?
Yeah, I think one, the Clippers, chemistry-wise, still not totally on the same page. Mm-hmm. I think that's because a lot of their guys have been in and out of the bubble. They had a lot of life circumstances where three key guys left for basically deaths in the family or friends. And so when you have that now, Patrick Beverley's out, they're not 100% on the same page. Number two, they can't get bored at times. They had big leads where they squandered them to Luka Doncic. And if you look and see, I'm not trying to compare Luka Doncic to LeBron James, but this is a perimeter guy who kind of does it all, can score, rebound, assist. It's similar to what, like, we can see maybe how the Clippers might defend LeBron James a little bit. They didn't have to worry about an Anthony Davis. There was no Kristaps Porzingis for Dallas. So it makes it easier for you to trap Luka Doncic on the perimeter. But the Clippers kind of had maybe a little taste of what it's going to be like to go up against LeBron James in a series. But obviously, they don't have to deal with Anthony Davis. And I think the whole key for the Lakers, and I've been saying this all along, Alan, mm-hmm. is if Anthony Davis is a killer, we already know he's a top five player the way he is now. But if he's a killer, that makes him a top two player. Mm-hmm. And that is what LeBron James needs. If a team tries, like the Clippers, tries to get physical and punch Anthony Davis in the mouth early on, and Anthony Davis responds, and he's a killer from the get-go, it makes the Lakers very difficult to beat.
You know what I love? Some of these acquisitions that the Lakers made, and I'm talking about Markieff Morris. Of course, Dwight Howard was already on this Lakers roster by the time trade deadline came in the offseason. And Avery Bradley, you put in that conversation too, but he's not in the Orlando bubble. I like that the Lakers also got guys that say, you want to push around and you want to shove, we're good. You know, let's definitely do it. But the AD factor, that's everything. You know, I just getting a chance to watch him in round one, it shouldn't be a shock or surprise, but certainly you're proud of what he did in round one. Okay, now you got to follow that up, and really all this is just accumulating to get that opportunity against the Los Angeles Clippers. Okay, we got an update, Holm. We might not be watching Lakers basketball for a little while here. The Thunder have a 4-point lead over the Houston Rockets. It's 100-104. And if Oklahoma City holds on, only 4 seconds left, or under 4 seconds, then that means Game 7 will be on Wednesday. So still no Los Angeles Lakers basketball. I got one more for you on the Clippers front, and then we'll go. I got some questions for you around the NBA. Clippers, how far do you think they are from top form? Because I watched that series against the Mavs, and I never felt like the Mavs had any shot. And it's not that Luka did anything wrong or the Mavs did anything wrong. They're not as good as the Los Angeles Clippers. Is there a whole different level to the Clippers that we just haven't seen yet, because Paul George has been struggling? Patrick Beverley hasn't been in the lineup. How much better can they get, I guess, if you look at this team big picture?
It's hard to say this, considering the fact that they scored, I don't know, what was it, like 144 or 154 yeah. points, I think, in one of those games against the Mavericks. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they are not at their top level yet. They have another gear they can shift it into, if not maybe a gear and a half. Because they haven't had Patrick Beverley on the floor, we have not seen how good defensively they can be together. And offensively, you're right, Paul George has been very up and down. Montrezl Harrell still working his way kind of back in. We haven't seen the chemistry between Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams that they had last year. We haven't seen that yet in the playoffs because Trez has kind of been out with the death of his grandmother. So they're still working that back into the picture. So we haven't seen them at full strength and what they are capable of doing yet.
So it is official. The Oklahoma City Thunder force Game 7. 100-104. Om, I think you said it perfectly. They muddy the water a little bit, right? The Oklahoma City try and make the game ugly, and they made it ugly enough to get this win tonight. You know, you respect players like Chris Paul, these vets that have been in the game for a while. They have a strategy, you know. It doesn't have to look pretty. It doesn't always have to look great. You talked about this will be a benefit for the Lakers to kind of have more rest, some more time off going into Friday. I think there's definitely something to that. Okay, a couple more around the NBA, and I want to get back to you on this OKC-Houston series. This series that we're watching, the Game 7 tomorrow between Jamal Murray, Donovan Mitchell, the Jazz, and the Nuggets, how special have these two guys been for how young they are? You know, often we talk about how the NBA is in good hands, and you're talking about players like Trae Young and some other young budding stars around the NBA. How about what Luka Doncic, Jamal Murray, and Donovan Mitchell have done so far in the postseason?
Unbelievable. The offensive explosion inside the bubble and the shooting, I mean, yeah, I guess as a Laker fan, you might not be able to tell because the perimeter guys haven't shot threes as well. But when you watch Utah against Denver, like so far, and I hope Game 7 lives up to the way the series has gone, these guys, like, it's almost like they're just hitting three after three after three. It's ridiculous, especially in the second half. Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray, in case you have not been watching this series, have scored 50 each twice in this series.
Jesus.
That has only been done by two other guys in postseason history by the name of Michael Jordan and Allen Iverson. This is the level they are playing at right now offensively. Only 16 times have there been two opponents who have faced each other in the series who have averaged over 30 points in the entire series. Donovan Mitchell and Jamal Murray are set to be the first two at 23 or younger to do that. This is the level they are playing at. This is like basically watching Larry Bird and Dominique Wilkins go at it, averaging 30 each.
That's unbelievable.
In a series. And I don't think people realize how good a basketball it is. In the fourth quarter, you're watching them just go back and forth, and they are hitting ridiculous shots. Now, Utah might double Jamal Murray. It might not be as pretty in Game 7. I think Utah needs to do that. But hopefully we see an ending that will be fitting for how good this series has been if you've missed it.
I was showing Jamal Murray's stats a little bit earlier. 66% from the three-point line and 64% from the field in his last three games. So he's been ridiculous. Okay, prediction tomorrow, Game 7. Who do you think comes out? Who do you think ends up playing the Lakers? Or who do you think ends up playing the Clippers in Round 1? Who do you think ends up playing the Lakers in Round 1?
I think it's going to be the Denver Nuggets. Jamal Murray has elevated his game to another level. Nikola Jokic. Jamal Murray has been so good, we're not even talking about Nikola Jokic.
I forgot about.
And I think the return of Gary Harris defensively really has given them an extra bounce, an extra and a boost of energy. And, of course, this is their third straight Game 7. I think they get through, and they're going to face the Clippers.
And then for Lakers and for Round 2, you still think Houston, correct?
I still think Houston, barring an injury to Russell Westbrook or James Harden, I think the Houston Rockets still have just too much offense. Oklahoma City has to work too hard for their points. But listen, if you're a Laker fan, I think
enjoy some of the games this week.
Sit back and enjoy it, and I think you're good either way. Houston will pose more of a threat. Houston will have the Lakers' full attention. But Oklahoma City, I like the way defensively the Lakers would match up against them. It's going to be hard for Oklahoma City to score. But at the same time, if you want the Lakers to be prepared for that Western Conference Finals as good as possible, I think you want the challenge of the Houston Rockets and having them to really try to lock down James Harden and Russell Westbrook to prepare them for Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. I think that's probably what you would want as a Laker fan.
Om, great stuff, buddy. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you doing this, all right?
All right, anytime, Alan.
All right, that's Om Yong-Masuk right there. Covers the NBA for ESPN. We had to wait here. Om and our timing. Like, Om's texting me, should I wait till the game? Like, yeah, you probably should wait till after the game. And then game obviously went to the wire, but interesting result there. I wasn't expecting the Thunder to force this to seven games. Man, if you're an NBA fan, how excited are you for the next couple? How about us as Laker fans? We get to sit back Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, just watch some good basketball and not have to worry about a thing. That's all I ask for in life. Am I asking for too much? I don't think I am. So Lakers still waiting to see who they're going to play in the first round. The Oklahoma City Thunder and the Houston Rockets have Game 7 coming up this Wednesday. Couple reminders here. when this show ends, I do Lakers Talk on social media. So I'm going to do it on the ESPN Los Angeles platform. So if you want more Lakers Talk, come tune in with us there. It will be on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, you name it. We'll be on it. And then, of course, don't forget, starting tomorrow morning, Keyshawn, J. Will, Zubin, and Travis. So you'll get a chance to, you know, obviously react to all these NBA games, and then it's all slated from there, our local lineups, as we always do. So make sure to start tuning in tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. As for this show, ESPN app or on iTunes. If you missed any part of the show, tune into the ESPN app or on iTunes. The Los Angeles Lakers will have to wait a couple more days. Took care of business against the Portland Trailblazers in just 5 games. What is the luxury of some of that? That means Laker fans can sit back for the next 3 nights, enjoy some NBA basketball, and we'll get some Lakers basketball most likely on Friday in that first round series. Quick thank you to Jesse. Quick thank you to Steve. Everybody that tuned in, everybody that called into the show. LA, it's always greatly appreciated. Have a good night.